by a pouch of tobacco meant to be used in, you know, hand rolling for hand rolled cigarettes. And then they would sell you 20 tubes with filters and a nice little tin, actually, which you could reuse. It was a beautiful little metal tin. So then, okay, so you buy all that, and obviously since it's hand-rolled tobacco, at the time the taxes were even lower than they are now. They're very, very little. So it was very cheap. It was like $3. And you had everything you needed to make the cigarettes, including the filtered tubes. And then you would just go to the back of the store and dump your tobacco and your rolled and your filtered, you know, containers, your filtered paper. And you would put that into the machine. And it was like a semi-industrial machine. So you put that all in, you wait about 30 seconds, and it spits out 20 cigarettes. So it was great. You got 20 cigarettes for like $3 and a nice little metal tin, and Bob's your uncle. That was taken to court by Bloomberg, and they ruled that since the store was facilitating the manufacture of making these tubes and this hand-rolled tobacco into the final product, which was the same thing as a pack of cigarettes, that it was illegal what they were doing. The court supported that, and Island Smoke went out of business. So it's different technology, different stuff, but like it sounds like that's exactly what they're doing in the vape shops in Chicago. And Jared, I would ask you, I mean, you know, once legislators get a whiff of this, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, what, you know, you have a history of knowing how governments react to these kind of things. What do you think is going to happen when they catch wind of this?
I think Chicago residents need to grab their wallets and run for the hills. That's exactly what I mean. As soon as they figure out the politicians, that is, find a loophole that is to the advantage of consumers, they're going to try to stop that loophole. So I think everyone needs to be as inventive as possible now, because as soon as they can figure out a way, they will try to enact legislation to take more money out of your wallet. And of course, it's always couched in, again, being for the children and being for health, even though in the case of e-cigarettes and vaping, quite a few studies are showing that, you know, the health concerns are much less compared to tobacco products in general. Yet, again,
there's also a big dollar amount. I mean, I've been to every hearing on all the taxes and even the bans, the Cook County, the Chicago, the state. I've been down there for legislation hearings. The one thing in the Cook County that was really brought up was the cost savings. We're talking about they're thinking they're bringing revenue in. But the cost savings to public health, and as if you look at smokers in general, and are lower income, more on public assistance, more on public health care, and if you were to help them get better by getting off, you know, traditional cigarettes and going electronic, their health benefits would save millions. Millions, I forgot what the number was, in regards to health care, public health care, because county does run the public health care, you know, the Medicaid, yeah. Medicaid and Medicare, that's it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. No, I agree with you.
And so, in fact, the one thing is, and I throw big props out because I actually met with them and spent, during one of the hearings, Timothy O'Schneider, who's a Cook County commissioner, during the actual, the voting on it, he stood up and he made a cry that this is absurd that we're going to be taxing something that we don't have enough information on, and that you're going to be running businesses out of Cook County. And he was excellent when he did that. And but it seemed to go on deaf ears. And it seems like vaping just in general at every hearing I've been has always been the last topic and tobacco. And it's always going up against when other people are talking about, I don't know if it's more serious, child care and other fundings for child care, senior care, and a bunch of other stuff. And then you talk about the rights of the vapors or cigarettes, of tobacco users. So it always seems that we go on deaf ears and we're really not heard.
Sure. I mean, tobacco users and e-cigarette users are probably one of the last groups in America that can always be demonized for any reason. It's really unfortunate.
Well, have you been? Do you live in Chicago, Jared?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. So then you've seen. I don't know if you know this. City of Chicago just started a campaign a month and a half ago against e-liquid. In fact, there's big signs. And in fact, a group of people are actually taking the city to court for defamation, or filed a case, I should say. Russ knows all about that stuff. But there's big billboards and signs on sides of buses that say e-liquid is poison.
Yes. Yep.
It's so funny that we have all this money to spend anti-vaping, instead of spending all of our tax monies on anti-vaping instead of trying to put it towards the deficits that we have.
I want to go back just for a second, Rod, to you mentioned before that there's this workaround for now where the stores can avoid a lot of the taxes just because they can sell a tiny 1 mil bottle or 2 mil bottle of the liquid nicotine to add to the zero nic e-liquid. So, okay, fine. But the thing is, you mentioned before when we were talking, isn't that's going to change the flavor of the juice because not all e-liquid manufacturers use the same nicotine. When you're talking about, so you want to add one of those bottles to make it three. Then you want to add two of those bottles to make it 6 milligram. Then you're gonna have to add three of the bottles to make it nine. So each time you're adding more, depending on how high you want your nicotine, you're
diluting.
You're diluting it, so you're getting less and less flavor. So, I mean, one thing I thought about. I guess it's not a big issue, but if you're an e-liquid manufacturer, there's somebody who's going to be buying your liquid in Chicago and they want to have,
they're tampering with your product.
They are. Yeah.
They're tampering with your product.
Like if you're going to buy a 12 milligram, if you want your nicotine to be 12 milligram, I mean, it's going to have a lot less flavor. You're adding milliliters.
You're not buying it in Chicago.
I'm sorry.
You're not buying it in Chicago. Let's just say that much.
Do you mean?
Because even then the tax, you're going to pay the 80 cents and then the 55 cents times for it's not the gas versus the time and gas and convenience doesn't make sense at that point. And in general, the market, the industry is at a 3 milligram with the sub. Our industry has changed so much as far as nicotine consumption. It's mainly because the delivery, the products that we're using to deliver it now have become more efficient and different, sub-ohming and different higher temperatures. And so your hit is a lot quicker, your absorption is a lot quicker. So, right. And harsher,
Here's the thing. The Chicago lawmakers, they're going to very quickly realize that they're not going to get any of this tax money because there's the workaround for now. So they're going to get, less than 10%, way less than 10% of what they were projecting. So that's the first thing. Then the second thing is even if, if they attack that and then push it out, then everyone's going to leave Chicago. I mean, they're already leaving and they're just, no one's going to stay there when they could just move and, do business unencumbered. So they're not going to get any of this money. They will be successful in keeping people on cigarettes because when there's no vape shops, certainly, I mean, you're right about, most people have moved to 6 or 3 milligram, but, the vapers who are starting, tend to start at 12 or 18 or even 24. There will be, even if these shops stay, they're either priced out or not even going to bother to offer something. I mean, I guess you could do it in a pre-sealed cartomizer, but that's about it. So the only people who are being hurt or you know, the consumers are going to have to spend more gas money to get somewhere else, but they're not going to get this money on the taxes. So my question to Jared is, I mean, do they know that? Do they care? I mean, eventually they're going to see the money's not there. Whether or not they could have predicted it, I don't know. Do you think they knew that in advance and they just don't care? What can you get in their mind a little bit? What are they thinking?
I would hate to get into the mind of a Chicago lawmaker, but if I can try. I'm not really sure. I think most of them are totally ignorant of economics in general. That's why they got into government. So they probably don't realize the implications of their actions first off. But you're exactly right that the more laws and regulations they put on these choices by citizens. I mean, do we not have a right to purchase adults? And so they always, again, it's for the children. Well, we're not even talking about children. We're talking about legal adults making these decisions for themselves. And politicians will do everything they can to be our nannies. So
you know,
I'm not really sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, my analogy is to raise the price of taxes on cars and automobiles just to keep underage kids from driving. That makes no sense.
Exactly.
There you go.
Good analogy. Yeah. So is there any, I mean, you know, you mentioned before, well, you know, maybe you can get on the alderman, you know, after this has been in effect for a while and they see it's not working and maybe make a change that way. Okay, that's one way to do it. That doesn't sound... Well, it would be a difficult struggle. Another difficult struggle could possibly be, you know, can this be attacked in the courts at all? And does Taxpayer United of America, have you been involved in court cases in the past? Is that a viable avenue to attack these things?
We have been in other court cases in the past, not pertaining to this issue in particular. But we are very interested in working with other national and local organizations to put forward lawsuits if the aldermen try to push this through in Chicago via our capital in Springfield. And so that'll be the next fight that we're looking for in the next couple weeks. Because the only way they can enact these other proposed taxes that I was talking about earlier with the cigars and other tobacco products will be through Springfield. Yeah. And you can expect that there are going to be more taxes on e-vapor and e-cigarettes in the future as well.
Yeah, Bowser's already said he's already gone after. That's one of his things. And then you have the one woman downstate, I can't think, that's proposed it a few times now.
Kathleen Willis, I believe.
Willis, that's it. Thank you.
Yep.
So, but Mike, our thing is that our industry is under attack in so many different, from local or city to county to state and then federal. But the main thing is with the FDA and how their deeming regulations are coming up. Is this HR 2058, which I think is more important than some of these taxes. I mean, the taxes are important. Don't get me wrong. It's you got to proprietize, you know, which is the worst evil, you know, the taxes or shutting down the whole industry together. And, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what HR 2058 represents to the vapors. Are you?
No, please tell me.
Okay, basically, deeming regulation says that the FDA will disallow, nothing will be allowed from anything from 2000 that came out after 2007. And at 2007, I've been vaping for 8 years, there literally was almost not one store would have a product on their shelf that would have been for sale pretty much. So it would close everything. And now HR 2058 is a proposition for we're trying to get all congressmen behind, is that it would allow from what's the date on that, Russ? 2014 or 15?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. To go to, so that would put about 60% of the product of the stores would still be able to, and as an industry, we could survive off of that. And because after that, then any new products proposed or presented would have to go through their testing and everything. And they're talking about it could be $2 million per product per SKU to be introduced.
Kasa has a great call to action on how people can very easily write their representatives. I put that in the chat, and it's in the replay notes also. So it's fairly easy to take action. That's the easiest way to take action. There's other ways too, but that's a great place to start. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff is like you said, Rod. You got to kind of prioritize your evils. They're all terrible, but I mean that's the big one. I mean. Depending on now, it's good news that it's taking this long. Everyone expected it to come out last year, and the OBM or OMB, I forgot the name of the federal department that's responsible, because the deeming is done, it's been written. And you would expect if the OMB liked everything that they saw, you'd already see those deemings as law today, but it's taking a lot longer. That's good news. Maybe there's some people who are actually looking at this and, you know, maybe considering health or black market implications or what have you, who knows. It's taken a long time, but still, that's the sword of Damocles right there. That could end everything, like you said.
And hey, yeah. And when all else fails, you should appeal to the interests of the politicians themselves. We saw recently Representative Duncan Hunter vaping in a session, and kind of making a mockery of the whole thing. And I think that's a good way to go about it too. Find out, hey, do you vape? Well, listen, we need to talk about what your colleagues are proposing, and stop it.
Well, exactly. And now the one thing that my two aldermen voted against the budget, which I was very happy, Scott Waskapak, I don't know if you know who he is,
yes,
and mm-hmm. also Deborah Mell. So I was very, very happy with that. And then there was, I think, seven others that voted against the budget. But for all the tax purposes, I mean, our property tax in Chicago just went up 13%. So that's something that now me being a owner, property owner, I have to deal with that. And then they just started charging. Now they're going to start for garbage removal too. So
it was the largest tax increase in Chicago history. I believe it was $750 million, all included.
Yeah. Now, and the funny thing is, now Russ, you say, are they going to notice? No, they're not going to notice the e-cigarette. Do you know why? Do you know what they proposed that they would collect in taxes? Was just about $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at a deficit, how much is our Chicago deficit?
I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it is atrocious.
It's atrocious.
Along with all the other deficits in Illinois.
And that we're not even, but just Chicago. Hundreds of millions. So, Russ, when you're talking about thinking that it's for the children, there, it wasn't about the money. It was not about the money, because truly, if it was, that tax of they proposed, I think it was $1.6 million, if I'm getting it correctly. From the taxes. So go on.
So that was right. That was for the e-cigs that did pass through the last budget, and then the new proposed taxes were equaling about $6 million. So still, the combination of barely $7 million, which I don't know, but to you guys and myself, that is a lot of money, and to your average taxpayer. But to the lawmakers in Chicago and throughout Illinois, that's just chump change. Illinois is currently facing $111 billion in unfunded liabilities. So That means almost nothing.
What was it? And Will Matt, they were planning to spend $1.4 million on some toilets or something. I forgot. What was it?
I believe it was a beachfront property.
so like I said, I don't think it's about the money, Russ. Russ, it's. I wish I could say yes, it's the greed, but at the end of the day, the numbers just don't make sense. They don't make sense, you know.
Well,
so and how do you keep funding? And the thing is, and it comes back to this, is that and everybody goes, oh, it's big tobacco going after vaping, it's pharmaceutical, it's all this and that. It is all of these people from the big settlement that were getting all these millions, hundreds of millions, or millions of dollars to their non-for-profit organizations, anti-smoking and all this, that as smoking diminished, even traditional tobacco or cigarette use has been on a constant decline. Their funds have been drying up.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get vaping demonized in that sense will bring back the funding. Do you know who runs the Illinois quit smoking line?
No.
No, I don't.
I believe it's the American ALA, American Lung Association. So so you're talking about we're paying them to run an a quit smoking, and most other organizations have found that vaping is a